Hey, good morning and welcome to the newest edition of our Pearls and Swine podcast. We are coming at you from 1115 College Avenue, and we're hanging out, Nate and John and I this morning, and we just are going to talk about relationships today. What really is prompting this conversation is the news of the author of the I Kiss Dating Goodbye book, Joshua Harris, who is separated from his wife and done some other things, turned away from that relationship and some other relationships in his life. And we're just going to discuss that and the purity movement that he kind of fostered in back in the late 90s, early 2000s. And so, Nate, what's your take on the situation? I know you read an article recently and can give a little bit of insight to what's going on. So fill us in.
Joshua Harris was a pastor, fairly prominent one. Back in the day, he kind of stepped away from that recently. But I'm sad. I'm sad to see such a prominent figure choose this route. You know, we don't have details and that kind of thing. And so, but the article that I was looking at was really showing that he was questioning his faith. And so, that grieves me as a pastor, as a fellow follower of Jesus. And so, you know, I'm just trying to think through some of these things and, you know, as far as being a pastor myself, wondering, all right, how do I help other people, particularly in relationships? Like, relationships are hard. Marriage relationship takes work and effort and a lot of communication, a lot of really self-sacrifice and listening and that kind of stuff. And so, I'm trying to wrestle through how can we help our people in regards to this. And part of it, I think, is choosing to be open, choosing to be honest when you're struggling, when you're in those times where you're in a dark valley and you're not sure what to do. You know, we need to have good relationships in our lives so we can go to people and say, hey, this is where I'm at and this is where I'm struggling and can you help me? Could you give me some advice? Could you pray for me and my marriage and that kind of thing? I think that would begin a process that would be helpful. Divorce is a big deal, especially for Christians. We should be the ones setting the standard and having successful marriages. You know, the gospel is about reconciling with God. And so if we can reconcile with God, then we should be able to reconcile with each other. And so there's some of the things that I'm wrestling with in all of this and just, you know, praying that the Lord could bring healing.
Did either of you guys read his book, I Kiss Dating Goodbye, ever?
I did not. I'd heard of it. It was very influential and that kind of thing. But it, just the premise of it, I was like, you know, that doesn't seem helpful in our culture. It didn't seem like it was really equipping people to have healthy relationships, but instead was encouraging people to run away from the issues. And so I didn't really dig into the book very much. My wife read it and, it encouraged her to, do a fast and really think through her relationships and what it looks like to pursue, a relationship and such. And so, she was kind of doing a relationship fast when we first met. And so it was kind of funny as I was getting to know her and, we weren't dating. We were just kind of friends and, she was really trying to focus in on her relationship with God. And so in some ways the book kind of helps us get to know each other on a friend level before we ended up dating and
I had beef with that book because that was my wife before we were even dating. She was interested in me, of course.
Of course.
But she was going through that book and that almost sabotaged our relationship before it even began. So I've got beef with Joshua Harris. And then to hear the news that he kissed his marriage goodbye, I mean, it started just rekindling some of that intrigue into what was in the book. And what one interesting comment that he made about it, I guess he did some kind of documentary to kind of refute what he had said, is that he said, my book hurt people, my book helped people. The tension of both of these things being true reflects the complexity of reality, which that part I totally agree with. But then he said, my thinking has changed since I wrote I Kiss Dating Goodbye. I think that its premise is flawed, and I don't agree with a lot of my own book. And from what I understood that his premise was, is that, hey, these dating relationships of multiple breakups just establishes a pattern of brokenness, continued brokenness in relationships, so that it leads and lends itself more towards divorce, which I get, and like I could respect that at the time, but now, you know, are you just using that as an excuse to say, well, my marriage stinks because my relationships were hard? And I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that we don't know about that, and we can speculate and look into, probably unfairly, but
I think before we throw the whole book under the bus, right? And that's going to be the tendency. So here's a Christian author, wrote a book. A lot of people didn't agree with the book, so we're going to throw the baby out with the bathwater, right? Before we do that, I think it's important to maybe glean out of the book, I think, what was its original concern, and that is the worldly influence, the patterns of this world, and whether or not they are all healthy in the context of a Christian relationship. And I think we can agree that that is not the case. Like, there are a lot of patterns of dating, living together, heavy sexual involvement, right, that are truly unhealthy. And so maybe the pendulum swung too far to a fear factor. You know, he even says, I've read some of this stuff recently, that, you know, there are people who took what I wrote and said, if I follow this, this is basically the perfect ingredients for a happy marriage ever after, you know. And that's just not, no book can do that. On the flip side of that is, hey, just mimic the world. Like, there's no problem. You know, you should be in a lot of dating relationships. You shouldn't talk about limits of your sexual involvement. You should have lots of unhealthy expectations on one another, like obsessive relationship. We know that's wrong. So somewhere in the middle of this is the right. And the reality is that the scriptures don't line out exactly what a dating relationship is supposed to look like. In fact, I you know, influenced by the book, I understand that there isn't a lot of biblical context for a dating relationship that is not a courtship leading to marriage. Like, there just isn't a lot of written. But we do have stuff about being fulfilled in our relationship with God, about pursuing God and His righteousness, about loving others so much that we don't put our own wants and needs into that mix on someone else, so that we're basically exploiting the relationship for our own gratification. We do see that. So how do we factor all this together and say, okay, look, it's hard for us to come down with a 5-bullet-point book that says, do this, don't do that. When I was talking to couples that were involved from the college, you know, we ran a couple small group, and one of the premises was, if our goal here is to figure out how close can we get to the line before we cross the line, if our focus is on honoring God in the relationship, then a lot of the stuff that Harris was talking about is going to sort itself out. But if our focus is like, well, how much of the world can I mimic in this relationship? How much of my self-gratification can I exploit out of this relationship? You're in trouble. You're in trouble right away. I don't need a Josh Harris's book to tell me that. And that is true in marriage as much as it's true in a dating relationship. Mm-hmm. Or I can reverse that. It's as much true in a dating relationship. It is going to follow you, plague you into the marriage. Mm-hmm. So, right, pray for Josh, pray for Shannon Harris, pray that as Christians, like Nate said, reconciliation always needs to be on the table. That is the model that we were given in Jesus. So we pray for them. We pray especially because they became a focal point of secular skepticism, mm-hmm, about the efficacy of Scripture as it speaks into a relationship. Scripture is going to be maligned as a result of Josh and Shannon and their marital trouble. That should not be. They are still just human. It is heartbreaking that their relationship is going through this. But let's be zealous for the efficacy that Scripture does speak authoritatively about, maybe not how a dating relationship is going, but on who we are in Christ. Mm-hmm. And if our focal point is honoring and pleasing the Lord, then our relationships are going to be good.
Yeah, what I'm seeing is not just people, you know, saying the book is bad and terrible and that kind of thing. It's this whole idea of pursuing purity.
Absolutely.
That they're rejecting that.
That's scary.
And that is absolutely scary.
That leads us to mimic the world. I mean,
the anti-purity movement is what we're seeing now.
Exactly. And they're like, well, all these feelings of shame, all these things that I screwed up, like, that's not healthy for me and carrying into my relationships. Well, those are the things, the brokenness that needs to be dealt with. That's where sin has, you know, really messed up things. And we need to take ownership of that, and we need to address those things. And Jesus provided a way for that, right? And so I see, even within the Christian community, this like, well, we can't achieve that. It's too difficult. We can't even pursue that. But the problem is, Jesus's expectation for us was purity. You see it in 1 Timothy. You see it in other places as well. When Jesus is talking in his Sermon on the Mount, when he's talking about the law and stuff. He says, you know, you've heard that it's said, don't commit adultery. But I say, don't look on a woman lustfully. And so that's the standard that's established.
It's right? Not just the consummation. It's the motivation.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Exactly. And I think what you said was key. Like, if we're going into this relationship just because we're in love and we have these feelings and we want to pursue it for our own purposes, for our own gain, yeah, we're in trouble. But if we're coming to this relationship and we want to honor God with it, right? Like, we want to have this relationship where, you know, we're encouraged by it and we're challenged by it and we, love getting this person's perspective and we're just really enjoying relationships as God designed us to enjoy a relationship. And so we're taking that relationship and looking to honor God with that. We placed ourselves in this great position, one, to follow what God says and how he instructs us. And like you said, it's not like he gives a step-by-step process, particularly in our culture. But there are principles that we can follow to help us, you know, be careful as we're getting to know people and not putting ourselves in situations where we're using someone and just pursuing pleasure or that kind of thing, but really trying to encourage each other spiritually.
So I have, I have 5 kids. 3 of them are adults now. My challenge to them always as they've entered a dating relationship is this. This relationship someday may end. This may not be the one. So the challenge as you enter the relationship and how you conduct yourself in that relationship is keeping, kind of a Stephen Covey thing, keeping the end in sight. If I walk away from this relationship one day, if God brings this relationship to an end, can I say, walking away from this relationship, that this relationship was a blessing in my life? That I was strengthened in my faith, that my understanding of God was undergirded, like that this was a blessing in my life. If I go in with the expectation that that is what I want to be for this other person, that's what I want this other person to be. Like, we are strengthening, encouraging each other, loving each other, but pointing each other back to the Father. Mm-hmm. Then all these other issues about how far can I go, that's going to be a moot point.
Yeah.
But then if the heartache comes, like, yeah, I guess, man, we're not the ones, but we can still walk away and we say, hey, but I am so grateful for that relationship because it taught me. And really it is. We are, through those relationships, with dating relationships, we are learning the characteristics that we're looking for in that one and forever relationship.
And you learn a lot about yourself.
Absolutely.
As well, which I think is really key. And I think key of what you said there is, that the other person looks at the relationship as a blessing too.
Right.
That we're not just concerned about what we get out of the relationship, but we're also concerned about that other person and protecting their hearts too.
The last thing the thing I really just compelled to say is that the other issue here that I think stares us in the face is the poor job we do on talking about sexual relations. It's the taboo subject, right? And this is where, when we don't talk about the God ordination and beauty of sexual relations in the right context of a marriage, when we don't handle that right, the vacuum of that is filled by the world's definition of if it feels good or if you just do it, gratify yourself. And there is a theology of sex. Mm-hmm. There is a good, it was something, we were created man and woman. We are created in God's image. Sexual relations were a part of God's, the beauty of God's creation. Mm-hmm. That has been perverted by the world. And now the influence of that, I think a part of it is the church has done a disservice by not finding the way to present that in a God-honoring way. And then as a result, the vacuum of that is now a message from the world, which is completely perverted what sex is. And it's just about pleasure and your needs and gratification. It's a hobby that we do. It's what I do on Friday night for fun. It's like, that is so below the holiness, the goodness of what God had in mind when a man and a woman experience that oneness physically. It's holy. It's beautiful. So we don't have to make it dirty but vulgar, but that's what happens when we don't have a language that exalts that this is a part of us experiencing the goodness of God.
Right. I think you're right on with that, because some of that has infiltrated the church in some regard, and it's maybe not as pervasive as it's just become this permeated idea, but like the Joshua Harris stuff, he's backtracking now and backpedaling on this purity and this virginity movement. He even said that the truth is that there's all these different categories of sin, and where we sin doesn't necessarily mean that it changes our status, which is bull. Our sin changes our status. It changes where our trust is. It shows who's actually Lord of our lives. It's what, like you said, those feelings, what I want to do. And I think you're exactly right. The church has done a disservice of not squarely addressing these things head on. Because let's face it, sexuality is a huge topic in our culture right now. It's a huge topic of humanity. Like, we wouldn't be here if it weren't for sexual things, right? So
that was an awkward laugh.
I'm waiting for somebody to agree with me. As far as my science and biology goes, I'm pretty sure I wouldn't be here.
But the issue is exploitation.
Yep. Right? Exactly.
The issue is brokenness, and God redeems. So absolutely, there are going to be people who have entered, who are now feeling the weight of the compromises they've made. They feel exploited, or they've exploited someone else. Mm-hmm. Please hear in all of that. God heals. God redeems. You are loved by God. That is not that does not exclude you from the grace and the mercy that God extends.
God can redeem all things, and you're 100% right. And we should be praying for Josh and his wife that there could be some reconciliation and restoration in that, that their faith would be restored and whatever that looks like. So if you guys are out there affected and impacted by this, man, pray for Josh and his wife, Shannon, or Sharon, just the Harrises, pray for those guys. But if you've got questions on this, or you're wanting to talk a little bit more about this, feel free to get a hold of us. We've got a text number that the pastors here at Evangel read, and we'll get back to you. You feel free to email me at travis@evangelhotan.org. And we hope that you guys have enjoyed your time talking with us and hanging out in this conversation. So I hope that I can say for all of us, take care, guys. Have a great day and be blessed.